Hey, this is Mike Bobbitt. I'm a guy who used to make things, and sometimes I still do. These days, I prefer making podcasts, and I have a new one called Soundtrack to My Life. On this podcast, I talk to different creative people about the music that shaped them. Sometimes the conversations are funny, and sometimes they're just kind of sweet.
I love that Pina Colada song. Yeah, I do.
Rihanna has had a huge impact on my songwriting.
I'm diving into the ocean, finding that one fish that has the toxins, and I'm just drinking those toxins all day.
Maybe they're saying, like, you should now go forth and rock. It's like a peace be with you situation.
I also have a playlist called F-Jams. One and two, just in case.
We danced to a jazz version of My Favorite Things.
Soundtrack to My Life. It's available exclusive on Spotify. It's a exclusive. I'm going to try to make that word take off. It's a music plus talk show, meaning I can play songs in their entirety. So think of this as an interactive playlist with some of the coolest creative people I know, and you should know too. Soundtrack to My Life, a Spotify exclusive.
Are you listening?
Hey everybody, welcome to the Are You Listening podcast, where two friends sit down and talk about music for a little while. I'm a little bit off this morning, just a little bit. We started off kind of odd, and we're here. My name's Scott. I'm here with my co-host, Brand. Brand, how are you today?
I'm good. I will blame the long pre-show meeting for why you're off.
It was a pretty long meeting.
Pretty long pre-show meeting. We are in the thick of it. We're kind of, hopefully those conversations don't continue on the show because everybody will be lost.
Right. Or hopefully we have enough to fill the show with a conversation that maybe we don't have notes about. Maybe we just talked it all out already.
That's fair. I hope for that.
We'll have a short show because we don't go off on tangents. So we're here. It's the first week of April. And I brought you this record saying that April, I always look at as kind of a funny month because of April Fool's Day. So I brought you a funnier record to me.
Do you put these kind of like genre containers on all your months? Like, what's July?
July? I don't have anything set for July. I'll think about it though.
Cause I want to say I don't do it, but I think probably October spooky and then December Christmas.
October spooky. Yeah.
But other than that,
July might be like
summer,
like getting into summer. So maybe we'll get into some Sublime or Slightly Stupid, or maybe we'll do Bob Marley, like just get into reggae kind of feel stuff.
You brought up Sublime, and I'm sure this is dating the show, and it's probably going to be long done by the time the show comes out, but I saw that the bassist of Sublime with Rome has left Sublime with Rome to join the Bradley Knoll's son Sublime band.
Oh, okay. It's now not the same bassist as always from Sublime?
No, it's the original Sublime bassist.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
So he left the Sublime with Rome to, like, he bailed out of a show.
Oh, okay.
And he's done, and he's joining the Bradley Knoll's son band.
I'm for it.
And from what I understand, Sublime with Rome is now
just Rome.
Because I think the drummer already left also.
I think he was the one that started it with Bradley Knoll's son.
Yeah, I think so.
Dude, I'm for it.
Good luck, Rome.
Like,
good luck, Rome.
I never got into the Sublime with Rome stuff.
You're more of a Bad Fish guy.
Hell yes. I love original Sublime. Like, I'm a big Sublime fan.
No, I meant the Rhode Island Sublime tribute band, Badfish.
Oh, I didn't know there was a tribute band called Badfish. I thought you were talking about just the song. Okay, but I was unaware. Maybe I'll look it up and get into some tribute to Sublime.
While looking up this, I don't even know how it came on my radar, but I was diving deep into this Sublime situation. And I saw that somebody commented somewhere and said, no, Badfish actually wrote a new original and it sounds pretty good. And I'm like, hold on. So a tribute band of Sublime is now putting out original music that sounds Sublime?
I was going to say that sounds like Sublime in the Sublime vein.
But I guess tribute band doesn't mean cover band.
That's true.
So technically you can get away with it. If you call yourself a cover band, you have to play covers.
You have to play covers.
I guess.
You're just getting the vibe.
I guess so. Good for that, I guess. Also, Rhode Island. Hey. How many bands can you name from Rhode Island?
Not a one.
Badfish.
Badfish. That's it. But we're not here to talk about Sublime. We're here to talk about April being funny month and getting into some Vandals. Specifically, Hitler bad, Vandals good. You said you would listen to Peace Through Vandalism?
Yes, previously? Which is like their first release, I think.
It was a compilation of like their first couple EPs, I think.
Like the Queers record we covered a couple weeks ago.
Right, yes.
Yeah, apparently the only way I absorb any of this like 80s punk is through their original... records. Original compilations of their first EPs. That's it. And then I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah. They're poorly recorded on a 4-track cassette recorder demos.
Yeah. You know, the guy that doesn't like lo-fi shit. That's all I get into.
Exactly. Well, let's get into the notes. I'll talk a little bit about the Vandals and then we'll get into charts and records released. The Vandals are an American punk rock band established in 1980 in Orange County, California.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. They definitely feel like it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. They are well known for their use of humor, preferring to use their music as a vehicle for comedy and sarcasm rather than as a platform for more serious issues. The band's lineup fluctuated significantly over their first 9 years, though founding members Stephen Ronald Jensen, guitarist Jan Nils Ackerman, and first consistent drummer Joe Escalante remain regular fixtures. Of the early members, only Escalante has remained through all subsequent incarnations of the band.
Is there any relation between Descendants and that guy? Ackerman. Is there any relation with the Ackermans? Because isn't that the dude from... Descendants?
Milo Ackerman, not Ackerman.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So you're telling me they're not related then?
They're no.
Okay.
Not
okay,
related. Hitler Bad Vandals Good is the 7th studio album by the Southern California punk rock band, The Vandals, released in 1998 by Nitro Records. Do you know anything about Nitro Records?
Never heard of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nitro Records was founded in 1994. And operated by the Offspring's Dexter Holland and Greg Kay.
A part of that checks out for one of the songs on this record because I saw some writing credits. So that does check out for one of these
songs. Yeah, Dexter Holland was, he has a writing credit on one of the tracks on this record, yeah.
Yeah, and I saw that and I didn't know there was any other connection. I thought that it was just, okay, he's here. But sounds like there is a little bit more of a connection.
Yeah. They put out the record. It's pretty awesome. The record features the most consistent lineup of the band. Dave Quackenbush on vocals, Warren Fitzgerald on guitar, keyboards, and backing vocals, Joe Escalante on bass and backing vocals, and Josh Fries on drums and backing vocals. I believe Josh Fries is now the drummer for Foo Fighters.
Yeah, and I think he also drummed for Devo.
He's done a lot of... like studio work for a lot of bands, but okay. Yeah, he was in Devo since 1996. It says I don't know
he's been in Devo for a while.
He's been in Devo for a bit, but he did live performances with Nine Inch Nails, Weezer, Sublime with Rome, Sting, 100 Gex, The Offspring, and Danny Elfman.
100 gecs feels wild.
It does feel really crazy. And he was also in Guns N' Roses from 97 to 99.
Well, who's the drummer of Guns N' Roses? What was he up to?
He was not being in Guns N' Roses because they were doing that Chinese Democracy record that Axl Rose just wanted to do by himself, basically.
Did you listen to that record?
Yeah, I did. I actually didn't mind it.
I thought it was okay.
I think it's pretty good, actually. Buckethead is the guitarist on that record.
Yeah. Buckethead doesn't need any more fucking writing credits. That dude has 25 albums out a year.
Yeah. But no, it's actually pretty decent. I liked it more than I thought I would, and more than I think the majority of the world did.
I went into it, like, I'm not even on any kind of classic rock wave. I was just like, okay, new Guns N' Roses, I'll listen. And I thought it was pretty good.
It was pretty good, yeah. But he was also in A Perfect Circle as well. Pretty crazy.
I'm glad he got his boring out of the way.
Much of the album is characterized by the pop-punk music and humorous lyrics for which the band is known, and it became their most popular and commercially successful album to date. While the band has utilized humor as a basis for much of their lyrical content throughout their career, the humor on their previous album, The Quickening, had been rooted heavily in sarcasm and dealt with themes of nihilism, anarchism, and apathy. By comparison, the humor in Hitler Bad Vandals Good is more lighthearted, dealing with subjects such as girlfriends, fast food, and hairstyles.
Can't agree.
Yeah. But yes.
When I think of the Vandals, I do still think of fast food to begin with, because Anarchy Burger, Hold the Government, is them, I believe.
Peace Through Vandalism. Yeah. I think it was the closer on that comp album.
It could be, but
I think it was.
So I've always connected burgers and Vandals. So they're being fast food on here. That's good. Checks out.
So no big jump to Hot Dog on a Stick.
No. Not at all. Just across the food court, bud.
That's right. All right. Well, that's all the notes for Vandals and Hitler Bad Vandals Good that I had. Okay. Let's get into albums that were released in June 1998.
Let's do it. I may have some here.
Maybe. Coming out the second, we have the Smashing Pumpkins with A Door.
Yeah, well, looks like you're not getting things for me then.
I didn't like that one either. that was after my Smashing Pumpkins time.
I didn't hate the Smashing Pumpkins. We covered a Smashing Pumpkins. I didn't hate it.
Yeah. No, you, I think.
I liked
did
it
you say
pretty,
own?
Pretty well.
I think you said you owned that one. Yeah.
Yeah, it was
Siamese Dream. It was good. Yeah,
I liked it. Liked it.
Also coming out the second, we have the self-titled record from Cold.
And you're a Cold guy.
I like Cold. Year of the Spider was a fantastic record. They did that song Stupid Girls that Rivers Cuomo helped write of Weezer fame. Okay.
I remember when Cold came out, and at the time Coldplay was huge, so there was like Cold, Coldplay, and I just avoided them both.
Did you? Wait, have you never listened to Cold then?
We listened to Year of the Spider on the 100 episode.
On the 100 list.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm sure I've heard some Cold because I've seen that spider everywhere.
Yeah.
So like, I had friends who liked Cold, but I think even after they played it, I was like, okay, all right. You hang on to that.
Yeah. I love that Year of the Spider record. Like, I think that thing's fantastic.
It's definitely a more Scott record than it is a Brand record.
Yeah. True. Also coming out on the second, we have Master P with MP to the Last Dawn.
This has to be close to his bankruptcy years, right? Like, we're getting...
I mean, 98.
Oh, he still had a few in him. He still had a few years.
Yeah. I think he was still doing all right. I think No Limit was still going strong.
His Cribs was probably like early 2000s, 03, 04, and he was still doing it. Still top of the game at that point.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, top of having money.
Platinum tanks all over the place.
No Limit records, that tank on the basketball court. There was like 15 dudes with No Limit chains on the basketball court.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The dream, man. The dream. Master P is the dream.
Yeah. Last one coming out on the second, we have Onyx with Shut 'Em Down.
I know Onyx. Onyx put a record out last year that I listened to, and
oh really?
Yeah, let's leave that.
I didn't know he was still doing stuff.
Isn't Onyx a group?
I thought it was just the dude. Is it Onyx the group?
Those two dudes. Yeah, it's a group.
I fucked up.
Frito Star, well, Frito Star, Sunny Siza, and Big DS.
Okay, I was wrong. But
there's only two members now, and it's Frito Star and Sticky Fingers.
Oh, okay. Well, coming out on the 9th, we have Slayer with Diabolos in Musica.
So you really wanted me to have a hot take this early in the show, huh?
There you go.
It's my favorite Slayer record. It's the only one that I go back to. The other ones, yeah. I get what they're doing, but I don't need it. I'm good.
Yeah.
Rain
and Blood is always my go-to Slayer, but
this is the one that caused them to lose half their fan base for a year or so.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot. I'm it's my favorite Slayer record. Yeah. I will not, hopefully. I mean, what is this? Vandals? I don't think Metallica fans are going to be listening to the Vandals episode, but maybe. Who knows? But if they are, I just basically dissed two of the big four. So, you know.
That's all right. Like I said, Rain and Blood is my favorite Slayer, so maybe we'll hold on to them.
Okay. Yeah, you saved it, I guess.
Let's hope so. Also coming out on the 9th, we have Madball with Look My Way.
Classic New York hardcore. Absolutely.
Yep. Love those dudes. On the 16th, we have Brian Wilson with Imagination.
Okay.
You're not a Brian Wilson guy.
I think I prefer Brian Wilson to the Beach Boys.
Okay.
Like, I would rather listen to a Brian Wilson record today than a Beach Boys record.
Okay.
I also, there is a part of me that has to like Brian Wilson because he did that record with Kesha, like the track. It wasn't a full record. Mm-hmm.
He did it. He did the track. Yeah.
And I get, to me, Kesha seems to, well, other than that one big issue she had, seems to surround herself with decent people nowadays. So I have to believe that he's an okay guy. You know,
let's hope so.
Just my optimism shining through there.
Right. Also on the 16th, we have Queen Latifah with Order in the Court.
I definitely did not listen to a 98 Queen Latifah record.
I've never listened to a Queen Latifah record, but I love her.
Yeah, I would. I don't think you and I, two white guys, is the way to go to talk about her biggest records, which are like essentially about Africa. So,
yeah, we're not the dudes to talk about it.
No. I like it. It was probably, I think it was my third record I got on when I joined Vinyl Me Please. I think the Queen Latifah, her first big one is was the record of the month, and I got it and I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Yeah.
But I don't think this is the area. You and I aren't going to shine any light on this thing that hasn't been shined better elsewhere.
Right. 100%. Also coming out on the 16th, we have Monster Magnet with Power Trip.
Are you a Monster Magnet guy?
I'm not.
Have you listened to a lot of Monster Magnet?
I've listened to the singles on the radio, and I never got into them.
I don't even know what the singles would be.
Was it Space Boy, Mother, something like that?
Oh, I don't know, man. I'm sure. Shit, I know they had singles.
It's been so long.
They're huge in Europe. Like, they're one of those metal bands that's giant in Europe. Like, huge.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But there's a podcast I listen to, not even a music podcast, like a comedy podcast, where he's on it a bunch, like the lead singer, he writes all the lyrics, he does all the music, like he's the guy, and he's a cool guy, so it's made me like dive in to Monster Magnet more than I thought I ever would. Okay.
Sure.
And I don't hate it, but there's nothing that makes me go, yeah, I need more. So
right.
That's where I'm at with Monster Magnet. I don't think it's bad, but there's nothing that makes me want more of it.
Okay. When I saw the cover of this record, Power Trip, I think this is the one that was really big because I recognized it, but I never got into them at all.
I can't even sit here and name an album, but I know I've listened to a few. I think there was a new one a couple years ago I listened to, but
okay,
it's whatever. You know what I mean? Like, gotcha. It's there. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad a dude can be successful doing what he wants to do, I guess.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Also on the 16th, we have MXPX with Slowly Going the Way of the Buffalo. which is a big one for me.
I was going to say, where's that at on your rankings of their records?
Of their records? Top. Not my favorite of theirs, but it's up towards the top. Like, I love that record.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, super good.
I've never listened to a full record.
I know. I'm still trying to figure out which one I want to bring you. The first one that I got of theirs, like, is what I like the obvious choice to give to you. But I don't know if you'd sink your teeth into that one as much as you might maybe Slowly Going the Way of the Buffalo.
I'm having a huge problem with that because, like, I know that there is this one artist that my favorite record by them is not their best record. Like, I know for a fact it may be my favorite, but I know it's not their best. And I know that there's other records by them that I think you would enjoy more.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm struggling to figure out which one of those maybe to bring you. And then, and it's coming soon. So I'm going to have to make a decision at some point. It's coming soon.
Sure.
But there's also, like, other circumstances that, like, well, this has this, so you might not like that, but this one isn't good, but it's really hard, and I can't wait
and
for
it's,
it.
It's really hard, especially when you have such an attachment to that artist, band, group, whatever, and you're like, but I love all these, but I don't know which one to pick for Brand to have that same kind of reaction to it or appreciate it as much. Or like you said, like, this record has that one song which he'd really love, but it's also got this one song that is super cringy and might not hit,
especially when your opinion of the artist is based on you hearing their entire discography
years of listening,
and you're trying to pin it down, like, well, how do I how do I get him pinned so he might listen to the discography?
For sure. Yeah, it's tough. It's real tough.
It's rough. Yeah. I've been struggling for like 2 weeks trying to think of this one. So,
we'll get there. All right. Coming out on the 30th, we have Rancid with Life Won't Wait.
Is that the red one?
No, that's the one with the guy running on the cover.
What's on it?
Not a whole lot on that one. That's the one that came out after Wolves.
Okay.
I didn't give this one a whole lot of time.
Okay.
It just looks like a blurry guy walking on a street.
I mean, I'm sure I listened to it. I definitely listened to it, but I don't.
Yeah. I don't remember much of it. I don't know. Like, I mean, there wasn't singles at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Hooligans would probably be the big song off of it, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at the list. Yeah, you're right. It's just a lot of just kind of filler tracks.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. And it felt like a long filler record to me.
I think the last two tracks are good, but those are the only two I even remember.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and listen to it. We have talked about potentially doing a Rancid draft.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll get into it sooner rather than later, but
I think I like Blood Clot too.
I think Blood Clot was another big-ish one. Like, maybe that was on some comp records.
That was the album's first single. Blood Clot was the album's
single. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Also coming out on the 30th, we have Agnostic Front with Something's Gotta Give. You an Agnostic Front one. Guy?
I was a big Agnostic Front guy for a while. Then it became iffy where I didn't know how this whole, like, working class hardcore is.
That's why I never got into them, because I always thought they were on the verge of not being right.
Anytime I've done research, it feels like it's okay. But there's also way too many caveats of, well, the Skins are the part of this, but Skins aren't Nazis. And I'm just like, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. I've always been really weird about Skins. And, like, when you hear Skins or Skinhead, I automatically go to neo-Nazi.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think Skins came from, again, I get the Germany's in Europe, but it came from like London, like working class stuff.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Nazi skinheads and Skins, like the skinheads, kind of dress the same confuses me.
Yeah. Too. It's the fucking red fucking
Suspenders.
The suspenders. It's the red suspenders.
Red Doc Martin laces.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's just weird. It's, if you're, I don't even know how to say it. If you're a skin, like the good kind, I don't know how to say it either. If you're the non-Nazi skin or have knowledge and can explain this, please send us an email or something.
Please let us know.
I don't want to be in this area, but then anytime I Google it, I feel like I'm going to be on a watch list. So
yes. Like, if I look up skins, they're going to put me on the same list of a dude who just read Mein Kampf.
No, I'm looking up skins and somehow then I'm on a translated Mein Kampf website. I'm just like, this is not what I wanted.
That's what I'm saying.
This is the opposite of what I was trying to look for, guys.
Yeah. I need to know what's okay about skins.
I liked quite a bit of Agnostic Front. It was a time before I was listening to full records. I did download their whole discography, but I kind of picked and I would pick and choose what I was listening to.
Okay. All right. Well, last record I have coming out June 98 on the 30th, self-titled record from System of a Down.
Yeah. Huge one there. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was a big record.
I mean, I want to say they could have been great, but they were great. Like they were great for three records.
You're giving them three. I only give them two. Yeah. I give them this first one, and Toxicity is a 10. And then after that, complete fall off for me.
What's after Toxicity? Isn't it still this album?
Is it? I don't know. After Toxicity, I really didn't get down with them too much. I know Hypnotized and Mesmerized didn't do much for me. Even Steal This Album was kind of eh.
No, I'll still take Steal This Album.
Okay.
But then, I will agree with the fall off of Mesmerized and Hypnotized. Absolutely. But
yeah,
I am still on board. I'm still on board for Steal This Album, personally.
Maybe I need to go back and listen to Steal This Album again then.
Did I revisit it as much as the other two? Absolutely not. But
no,
I like it.
Well, after that, I have the Billboard charts. I got the 200 in the Hot 100. What do you want first?
I feel like because all those records, I was only into like one or two of them. I feel like I'm going to know a lot of these. So let's go. Which one gives away too much? Like which one leads the other one? Well, they're not always the same. So let's go the Hot 100 first.
Okay, Hot 100. Starting off at number 5, the song, Everybody, parenthetically, Backstreet's Back.
Everybody, yeah. Yeah. Rock your body. Yeah. What a fucking banger that is. Love the Backstreet Boys.
I know you do. Coming in at number 4, we have My All from Mariah Carey.
Don't know it.
I don't know it, but of course she's on the charts.
Yeah, she has to be.
Yeah. Coming in at number 3, we have the song Too Close by Next.
No.
Not a clue.
No. Nope.
Yeah. Coming in at number 2, we have You're Still the One by Shania Twain.
That's a blind spot for me, too. I mean, obviously, I know really? Who Shania Twain is. Obviously, I know
That's
Shania
such
Twain
a
is,
huge track.
Maybe huge if I track. Heard it. Maybe
You're
if I
still
heard
the
it.
One I run to.
Oh, I know that song.
Yeah.
I know that song.
Oh, yeah. Huge track.
If I would have heard that song, you said, who sings this? I don't think I would have been able to pull Shania Twain.
Oh, no.
I don't think I know.
Okay. Mm-mm. Got it. And then coming in at number 1, we have The Boy Is Mine by Brandy and Monica.
Okay. Yeah. Big R&B times then.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge.
Man, Brandy's voice, and this is listening a little of her other stuff, but listening to her Christmas album recently, her voice is great. Mm. I think her voice back then was hampered by production because it's so soft.
Yeah. Yeah.
It needed brought up more. And I don't know if we had the ability to do that in a way that still sounded good back then. I mean, I guess it's still only 98, but production has come a long way since even 98.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, it really has. And then I have the longest running single on the Hot 100 coming in at 54 weeks. At number 33, How Do I Live by Leanne Rimes.
Okay.
We
had that conversation that, man, the world tried making Leanne Rimes happen so hard.
Yeah, really, really hard.
And she was very successful, but they really tried pushing her to like that next level. Like they were like, we got to, she's Garth Brooks.
I don't think she ever made it.
She's clearly very successful, but no, I don't think she hit Garth Brooks numbers.
No, not at all. All right, let's jump into the Billboard 200. Week of June 27, 1998. Coming in at number five, we have the Hope Floats soundtrack.
No.
No idea.
I know Hope Floats, but just like in passing, I know what it is. Like I've heard it, but
I don't. I can't. I don't even know the movie at all.
Forrest Whitaker.
Really?
Directed by Forrest Whitaker. I did not see that coming.
Wild.
For a million miles. Starring Sandy B, Harry Connick Jr. Oh, okay. Has to be a very young Mae Whitman. And Gina Rowlands. I don't know who that is. I'm sorry.
Weird.
But yeah, I knew it was a kind of romantic movie, but I don't think
I kind of figured it was.
It was successful. Budget $30 million, box office 81.5.
There you go. Coming to number four, we have the Godzilla soundtrack.
What the fuck is going on? 98.
I don't know, dude. Yeah, 98's weird.
Is there an equivalent? No, because there weren't that many Godzilla movies. I was going to say, is there a Linkin Park to Transformers equivalent for the Godzilla movie?
Right. Not that I know of. Are you looking up the track listing?
This is a weird track listing.
What do we got on it? I'm
about to run them through. The Wallflowers is the opener.
Oh, wow.
Second track, Come With Me by Puff Daddy. You would never.
Weird.
In a million years.
Into Puff Daddy.
Puff Daddy featuring Jimmy Page.
What?
Yeah. And it was apparently written by Jimmy Page and Robert Plant and John Bonham and Sean Combs.
Weird.
Yeah. Jamiroquai. Rage Against the Machine, Ben Folds 5.
Oh my God.
Days of the New, Michael Penn, Fuel, Foo Fighters.
Man.
Okay, I think Green Day might be the equivalent for the Godzilla movies because they have a specific Godzilla remix of Brain Stew on here.
Oh, Jesus.
Silverchair.
Man, I need to check out the soundtrack.
Joey Deluxe, and then two David Arnolds. I don't know what that means.
Those are probably just...
It sold 2.5 million worldwide.
Oh my God.
This is insane.
That's crazy.
It was number 56 on the Billboard chart of 98's best-selling albums.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently on Rage Against the Machine's track, No Shelter, a line of the lyrics appears to criticize the film for distracting the public, saying, Godzilla, pure motherfucking filler, get your eyes off the real killer.
Wow.
Rage Against the Machine are one of the only ones that could do a song for a movie soundtrack and insult the movie.
Yeah, right.
Is the rest of this charts just soundtracks or are there real records on here?
There's another soundtrack on here, too.
Oh, Jesus.
It's great. It's wild charts. Coming in number three, we have Brandy with Never Say Never.
It has to be from that big single, right? That huge single.
Yeah. The Boy's Mine, I would think so. Mm-hmm. Coming in at number two, we have the City of Angels soundtrack.
Again,
which
I don't
know. Goo Goo Dolls Iris is on that. That was the big pull for that one.
Oh, Nicolas Cage and Meg Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big romantic movie. I believe Nicolas Cage is supposed to be an angel looking over Meg Ryan or something like that.
You two, Paula Cole, Jimi Hendrix, Alanis Morissette, John Lee Hooker, Sarah McLachlan, Goo Goo Dolls, Peter Gabriel, yep. Jude, Eric Clapton, come on, slow hand, and then four tracks by Gabriel Yared, which is
I'm guessing that's the composer, yeah, for the music. Yeah.
Oh my God, five times platinum in America.
Yeah, dude, that Iris track, that Goo Goo Dolls Iris track was huge, huge.
Oh, and it was written for the movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was Johnny Resnick, the guitarist, singer, songwriter for Goo Goo Dolls, was going through a huge writer's block. Like, couldn't fucking write anything.
And God. Nicolas Cage saved him.
Yeah. No, I mean, it wasn't Nicolas Cage who was picking out the soundtrack, but whoever was in charge of writing or like getting the music for the movie got Johnny Resnick to do a song after seeing the movie. and the floodgates just fucking opened and he wrote Iris and it was huge.
I never knew that that was written for a movie. I thought that was just like used in the movie. That's pretty nuts.
It was written for the movie. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely crazy. All right. Number one on the Billboard 200, week of June 27, 1998, Master P with MP The Last Don.
I was wrong when I said he's near his bankruptcy. He's still top of the game.
Yeah. It came out early in the month and skyrocketed to number one on the Billboard.
Attaboy. Yeah. Attaboy, Master P.
Right?
You ruined your career with Lil Romeo.
Oh, poor guy.
Hey, Lil Romeo, that's a bummer that he got forced into that.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe he wanted to do it. I don't know. But
who knows?
It was pushed incorrectly.
Yep. And then I have the longest running, coming in at number 103, 98 weeks on the charts. Self-titled record from a band we mentioned earlier in the episode. Do you want to take a stab at it?
We mentioned 75 bands.
We went on for a little bit about it, about the band.
The minute I say something on here, I do not remember until I edit it.
Got it. Self-titled record from the band Sublime.
Oh, okay. Longest on the charts. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. That 98 makes sense. We definitely went on about them for a while too. Yeah.
Yeah, we did. Yep. But yeah, 98 weeks on the charts, still at 103.
Okay. And this is the year he died also, right?
Yeah, he died before this record came out. Yeah. Or no, so it would have been the year previous because it's 98 weeks on the charts.
Okay.
So it would have been 97 that it went on the charts.
So maybe died in 96?
96, 97-ish, yeah. So yeah, that's it for notes, records that were released, Billboard charts, brand. I gave you the Vandals, Hitler bad, Vandals good. Released June 23rd, 1998. 14 tracks, 36 minutes, 40 seconds long. Tell me what you got.
I just want to say first thing, I can't wait to edit you saying Hitler good 1,000 times. I'm just
don't do
excited.
That.
I'm very excited to have you say Hitler good.
No, Hitler bad, Vandals good. Don't.
Yeah, I'm just gonna
edit it the backwards.
And then it's gonna say Hitler good. I love Skins. Like it's just gonna keep going.
Don't do that.
Just a bunch of different shit.
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah, Nazis are great. Like you're gonna have so many phrases at the end.
Oh, geez. I guess we'll have a certain kind of audience, I suppose.
The opener. People that are going to hell.
Yeah, buddy.
Before I go into this one specifically, I want to go over everything and it will tie into my notes the whole way. After the first time listening to this record, revisiting the second time, I felt like I knew every one of these songs. Like the second time I was like, oh, I've heard this. But the first time I heard it, I didn't. Like I didn't know any of these songs aside from the obvious one. But
yeah.
I didn't recognize any of these. But then the second time through, I was like, oh, I've known this song for years. So like every one of these songs felt like I knew them for years after the first run through of these, basically.
That's crazy.
So the song is super fun, super poppy, still has a little punk edge to it, which is great. Sometimes pop punk leans a little too much in one direction.
Yep.
I still like that also, but you know, if you want to be pop punk, you got to kind of level the
throw the punk in too. Yeah, yeah.
The doo-doo-doos, as you mentioned, are great.
Yeah, I love it.
Super catchy hook. Great hook on this thing. Very good opener. Excellent opener of a track.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love this song. I love this whole record. It's just so fun.
Oh, that word will pop up a lot in my notes.
Yeah, at a time where I wasn't. I mean, I was, let's see, this came out in 98, so what? I'm 16. I'm
blast.
But I'm trying to be edgy and dark. Yes. But this is like just so much fun that I have to hide it. It's a guilty pleasure because I'm supposed to be trying to be like Brandon Lee in The Crow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Cafe 405.
Yeah.
Quote, I'm always flattered when my hot dog's getting battered. It's crazy. It's a crazy line.
I love it so much.
I love that lyric. It.
Yeah.
It's first of all, I love the mall. Yep. And I love. This is a very mall-based, romantic, kind of optimistic, kind of like optimistic romance, because they're not like really in a romance, I feel. Like,
no,
he's kind of like wanting to be.
Yeah.
But super fun, super fast, more punky than the first. First one was more poppy than this one.
Sure, yeah. And who doesn't love hot dog on a stick? Let's be honest. Give me that lemonade and corn dogs.
I've never had one locally.
We had it when I worked at our mall, so it would be 2000. We had a hot dog on a stick. It's long gone now. It didn't last very long. But they had the red, yellow, white, and blue outfits. They had the pogo stick where they're mashing the lemons to make the lemonade. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then battering the hot dogs to make the corn dogs. This song takes me back to that. And I'm just like, oh, man, so much fun.
Next song, My Girlfriend's Dead. This could be a NoFX song. Like, you would never know the difference. You would never know the difference. What a track. On my third run through, I already know this is going to be my favorite song. This song is
great. It's so good.
I love this song. But through and through, it could be a NoFX song. Like, if this is on a NoFX album, you would not know the difference. It's great.
Right. Yeah, Fat Mike could sing this, no problem.
Moving on to I Know, huh? Wild, like, tuba accordion intro?
The tuba ruins the song. Yeah.
That's in my notes. But then smoothly settles into the punk speed and the punk vibe. I love the rushed ad-libs that we get.
Yeah.
Where, like, they'll finish a sentence and then the same word or the same even phrase will be shouted very quickly, rushed in between two things. And you know I love ad-libs, so.
Oh, yeah. 21.
That's great for me. Quote, the tuba ruins the song, and then a tiny little tuba solo to follow it immediately. Perfect. Yeah.
It's so good.
The chorus is so quick and punchy. Like, the I know, huh, repeated over and over again is excellent. Such a great chorus on this. Really good track.
Love it.
Moving on to Money's Not an Issue.
Man, let me tell you, as a teenager trying to take out a girl, this song hits so hard.
It's very like 50s, 60s inspired, it feels. Like, there's a lot of doo-wop and swing behind this thing.
Sure. Yeah.
I really appreciate the amount of lyrics that the Vandals pack into tracks. Like, sometimes... Sometimes punk bands will lean on a repeated section a little too much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like that. Like, if I like what's being repeated, we've had this conversation, I enjoy that. But the Vandals are really putting heavy words per minute in these songs. Like, there are a lot of words in here.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it to no end. Another really great song. This album's killing it so far.
Yeah. I love that. The line "feel free to supersize" is like a romantic gesture.
Yeah, but it was
like, we're going to McDonald's, but you know what? Feel free to supersize that shit. Let's do it.
Whatever you need, whatever you need.
And then talk about like time stamping something too, because supersize hasn't been a thing for like 20 years now. But
it was a thing for like 10.
Like, it was one of those things that where we thought it was gonna go on forever. Like, supersize was going to be a thing forever, but
then
it's not.
Then we all became supersized, and we were like, hold on.
Yeah. Then what's his name came out with that Supersize Me movie, and we were like, oh, no, we don't need to do that.
Yeah, settle down, Morgan Spurlock. I don't know why I still know his name. I don't know why I pulled his name. He had a show called 90 Days also, I believe, where it was 30 days, where he would go and do different things for 30 days. It was like the same basic formula.
As Supersize Me? Know.
Yeah, I watched it, whatever. And then Doug Benson did Super High Me, where he smoked weed for 90 days or whatever, and then didn't smoke weed for 90 days and saw the difference in his body.
Yeah, wild.
All right. Moving on to I've Got an Ape Drape.
Yeah.
It feels weird saying it. I still don't know what that is. It could be the, like, the these tracks sound like I heard them before thing, but damn it, this chorus sounds super familiar to me. Maybe it's like an homage to something, or it's just one of those like common chord vocal progressions that we hear all the time. Like, that could be it.
Yeah.
But again, like I said, I still don't know what an ape drape is, Scott. Do you have any information?
Well, no, because you're not from Riverside. You would know it as a mullet.
Oh, yeah, no. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a different song.
At the end, when he's saying all the different hairstyles, like calling them all different names. Okay. Like, I've got hockey hair. I've got a shawm. I've got a mullet. It's all the same haircut. It's just called different names depending on region.
Yeah, I tried, man. I couldn't figure it out. I wanted to microscope it, but not so far that it makes it where I'm trying to take it too seriously. Because sometimes when you try to microscope something, you take things too seriously. So I was trying to hold that level.
Yeah. No, it's short in front and long in back.
My nickname was Mullet for like 7 years.
Oh, no.
Because I had one when I was like 12.
And so you had an ape drape and you didn't know it.
I had all kinds of haircuts. For some reason, that's the only one that stuck.
That one stuck,
I don't know
though.
Why. I don't know why that name stuck. And then that name became like my code name when I was doing illicit activities.
Yo, Mullet, hit that up.
Hey, what's your name? Oh, my name's Mullet. No, what's your name? Don't worry about it. My name's Mullet. All right. So then like now, if somebody approaches me as like, hey, Mullet, I'm like, oh, we don't know each other.
We haven't talked for a very, very long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Next up, if the government could read my mind,
they'd know I'm thinking of you.
I actually think this is a super cute and fun love song.
It's so cute.
But framed in the time frame of this album. Because if this song came out today, it would be weird, like, QAnon romance is what this
means. Yes.
Yeah. And I don't want that. I don't want a weird QAnon romance song.
Right.
But separated by the years from 98 to now, it feels like there's no stakes to it. And it's just fun. Mm. And I like that.
Yeah.
I like that this is fun. And you said they set out to be just fun. They don't want to they don't want to plant their flag anywhere. They're just trying to have fun.
Yeah. This was a anniversary CD track for Emily a few months.
Okay, that checks out.
Yeah, it totally does.
Moving on to Too Much Drama, and from a stakeless song to a timeless, angst-filled, divorced parent-child situation.
Yep.
It's sad, but also like beautiful in a way, but then it's also a bummer because this still exists. Like, this is still a thing. The song is good, but I don't need to be bummed out. And
sure,
I could imagine if I was going through this at the time, it would have been great. But I also didn't have like a standard parent divorce situation. So it wasn't.
I did. And it worked for me.
Yeah. My parents were separated for like, I don't know, 10 years before they actually got divorced.
Wow.
And it was never like a shared custody thing. There was never any paperwork. There was never any, like anybody involved there. It was just like, my mom just doesn't live here. Or, you know, something where I don't know where my mom's at. Or my dad is, I don't know, you know, who knows? So I never had that standard issue from this, but it bummed me out a bit that it still exists in such a way.
Yeah, I think this is the one that was co-written by Dexter Holland.
It was. Moving on to Come Out Fighting. And I did not know this was a Pennywise cover until...
I was going to tell you that if you didn't know it,
It was attributed, like when I was looking at the lyrics, it said originally by Pennywise. And I said, all right, well, maybe I heard this before, but I don't know. Obviously, it's good. I think Pennywise are one of those bands that I don't know if they ever wrote a dud. Like, they, even their album cuts are solid. So it's hard for me to, you know, come out and be like, it's a dud. No, it's a solid track. Solid track.
Yeah, this was written by Jason Matthew Thirsk, who is the bassist that passed away that we talked about on our Pennywise episode. And so they covered it and dedicated it to him on this record.
Solid. Moving on to Eurobarge. Now we have what could be a Bad Religion track. It's just like a politically charged California punk song. But it gets me into a idea of maybe the Vandals never quite established an identity of their own. Like, they were just able to float between all these different identities, like NoFX song, a Bad Religion song, you know, what have you, all the different things, that maybe that's why they never broke that ceiling, because they were just so good at doing a little bit of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of this. And they never set out to be like, we are the Vandals. But I guess the comedy aspect might play into that.
I was going to say that. I think that's where they were at.
And as much as I like all these songs, they're all solid. I think that bouncing around may hinder the full album experience a little bit, because it is just It is just, okay, here's this. Okay, here's this. Here's this. Here's all good.
Yeah.
But like this one's chocolate. Then you got a pickle. You know, do you want it all together? Do you want it all on a sandwich? But it's still great while I'm listening. Let's put it that way.
This one was a big Tony Hawk song. If you play Tony Hawk,
then I've definitely heard this.
Pro skater, this song was all over it. Yeah.
Then I've definitely heard that one before then.
Yeah. Yep.
I might have heard all these on a Tony Hawk at some point. You know what I mean? Like they all could have.
Yeah. Yep.
Moving on to Effed Up Girl.
Yeah.
While I don't know if I can endorse the message or or sign off on the idea of this as a punk track that sounds like lounge music at times, like it gives me Richard Cheese vibes.
I love it so much.
I think it's funny as a song, and it's fun as a song.
Yeah.
It's a good
track.
Well,
that's what you got to go into thinking about it as. Like, they're going to be controversial because 98 punk rock. But
if they had, if they had anything above it that was serious, it would make this seem a little worse.
Yeah, I was gonna say nothing else has been serious on this record, and these dudes just aren't serious.
The divorce is a little serious, but that's kind of throw a wing to it. You know, it's like okay,
yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Also, throw a wing to it. I just made up that phrase. I don't know what it means.
We'll go.
I don't know what it means, but I'm gonna stick with it, and it's gonna become my new go-to here.
I like it.
Next up, an idea for a movie. Smooth, pleasant punk track that you could sort into pop punk if push came shove. Like it is a punk track, but there's like enough pop in here that if push came shove, you could figure it out.
Yeah.
Also, a Mr. Pibb shout out is crazy.
Right? Yeah.
Insane. That has 98 written all. You want to talk about super size? Mr. Pibb. Mr. Pibb has 98 all over it. And I also feel like this is a two-tiered song. Like this is one where I brought the microscope out a little bit.
Okay.
Because tier one is when they're pitching a movie.
Uh-huh.
And then the second tier is the pitch. So like you can step back and see both of them. And it's actually a very complexly written song. If you sit down and try to diagram the song, like you sit down, and you're like, okay, well, this is the pitch. This is them pitching it. So it's a story within the story. It's Songception.
Yeah.
And it's very catchy. It's very fun. Obviously, like every other track on this record.
Yeah.
Moving on to Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A very agreeable, but not overly so track. It's a call to arms.
It's
like a call to arms, but the response is like a shrug. It's like, sure. Yeah. Whatever, man. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I'm okay.
Like, it's not like, yeah, we're going. It's okay. Sure.
It's all right. Yeah.
And it's another solid track. It's a good track. And then the closer, So Long Farewell. Sound of Music, obviously.
Yep.
I had to confirm where this is from because I heard this. I was like, this is fucking ancient. I was like, I've known this for a thousand years, it seems. And then I was like, okay. Good shit here, though. I don't even care if they're making fun of it. I don't care if it's a joke on it. I think it's great. I love this. I love it as a closer. I love that they did it. I don't even care if they're making fun of it. I like this a lot. It reminded me a bit of Me First and Gimme Gimmes. Like, that's essentially what's going on here.
For sure. Yeah. Yep.
And I like Me First and Gimme Gimmes. So this works for me.
Yeah.
So another solid track.
Fantastic.
So my top three, Scott.
Give it to me.
I don't know. This isn't a reflection of the record. I did just love it that much. So Long Farewell is my number three.
Okay.
That's not a reflection on the record. I just did love that so much.
For sure.
Idea for a Movie, number two.
It's so good.
And then obviously My Girlfriend's Dead, number one.
Yeah.
What do you got?
I got four because I just couldn't confine myself to three. Really, I love this whole record.
If So Long Farewell isn't one of them, you better have five.
Then we'll put So Long Farewell as number five.
Okay.
It's a great cover. I love it. Number four is Too Much Drama. I felt it at that age. And man, going back to divorce times in my head, boy, is it strong feelings. Mm-hmm. Coming in at number three, I have My Girlfriend's Dead. Absolutely love it. Number two is Effed Up Girl, and my number one is Money's Not an Issue, because for real, I remember going through that. Like, I found $20 in the sofa. Fuck yeah, we're dining like kings tonight. Like, I'm taking you out and we're going to actually see a movie and have dinner.
And we're getting popcorn at the movie.
Oh, shit. There we go.
I mean, but you might not be able to afford that with $20, but yeah.
Not now. Back yes. then, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love this record. I think it's fantastic. Brand, The Vandals, Hitler Bad, Vandals Good, Throne, Own, Phone, or Groan.
It's not a groan because it's so fun. It's so fun.
Yeah. Super fun.
I didn't honestly think of this question before I like sat down to do this today.
Oh, okay.
I enjoyed my time a lot with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, my collection definitely has a lack of punk just because sure. when I listen to a lot of punk, I feel like it needs to be loud, much like when I listen to a lot of music, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
And I'm not like a, I don't try to blast my vinyl a lot. Like it's just yeah. something I try to, like, I'm not trying to blast it a lot. I think it's still an own.
Okay.
I would rather own Peace Through Vandalism first, just sure. because I have a connection to that. And mm-hmm. when I was, as I said, as I tell you before the show, and I do this all the time, I bring up the track listing for when we're doing that part that we just did when we go through the track list.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
when I pulled it up before the Wikipedia article, it had the 25th anniversary pressing of this, which was last year, I believe.
I just got it.
The 25th anniversary pressing?
Yeah, I got it.
And it looked great. And that yeah. that kind of leaned me a little farther. I was like, you know what? I think so. I think it's an own. But
yeah
it would, before I saw that and before I sat down and thought about it, that I don't have a super lot of punk in my collection. It would have been between phone and own, but no, it's an own. It's an own. It's
awesome.
Good album. It's funny. Finding
so
the mood I would be in to throw this on would be an interesting
sure.
journey. But
yeah,
it's fun. And it would be cool to be like, oh yeah, look, Vandals. And I don't think I have many V's in my collection either.
See? So, there you go.
Got a V here, guys. Got a V.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this record, the record previous to it. I think I mentioned it somewhere in the notes. The Quickening, I'm a big fan of. And then the record that came after this one called Look What I Almost Stepped In, I think is the name of it.
Okay.
Love that record. And I own that one too. And it's
okay.
right along the same lines of this one. Just fun, funny, good time. Like, there's no stakes when you go into a Vandals record.
No.
Like, you none just put all. It on and have fun, right? So, yeah, I'm a big, big fan of that.
Well, Scott, this wasn't all you really had to do this week. What's your record of the week?
My record of the week is the soundtrack to Tick Tick Boom.
Okay.
It is the Jonathan Larson musical. Obviously, Jonathan Larson passed away a long time ago, but Andrew Garfield plays Jonathan Larson in this movie, talking about like creating his first musical, trying to sell it, get it out on Broadway, and going through all the hassles that all the ups and downs that occur when you're trying to create something and sell it. And this musical is about that musical, which takes part in time before Rent comes out and he becomes the Jonathan Larson. But Lucas wanted to watch it. We watched it previously. Lucas wanted to watch it again this last week. We did. And man, the songs just got stuck in my head. I had to download the soundtrack and I listened to it like every day this week.
Okay.
So yeah, that's my record of the week.
I gave you a 20-year record earlier mm-hmm. this week at some point. It was the Scars of the Crucifix by Deicide.
Yeah.
And it is a Deicide record I previously not listened to. I listened to their first three or four, I believe. And I was mm-hmm. running through discography and then I just stopped. But I liked it. It's what I expected from Deicide. It might not be as maybe technical as some of their earlier stuff. Or sure. as scary, I guess, but it's hard to get scared by music nowadays.
Right.
After you hear so much, it's not that easy to get scared by music. But
yeah,
Deicide, Scars of the Crucifix, it's Deicide. So if you...
Yeah, I had never listened to Deicide before, and you...
There's better records. Like, it's sure. good. I like it, but there
it wasn't bad at all. I liked it.
There's at least two other ones that I would rank above it in the 5 now that I listened to, I think.
Okay. But yeah, I liked it. I thought it was great. It was good.
Also, they were on a comp I have called Metal for the Masses Volume 2, I think.
Oh, okay.
And it was Disc 2. And ask me how long I pronounced their name as Decide, because I didn't read it.
Right.
I thought they were Decide. And then when I got into it, it was like, oh, Deicide. Oh, Killing Gods. I get it. I get it now.
There we go. Yeah.
So all that's left is what we're doing next week, and it's draft week.
It is draft week.
And going along with your funny times, I guess.
Yeah.
Your funny month. It's funny month, so we're going to do funny. We're going to draft funny month.
Yeah.
We could have drafted stand-up comedy records. That'd have been something.
Oh, that'd be wild.
But yeah, also because I would have some deep cuts that probably nobody would know. But
right.
We are drafting the musical stylings of one Al Yankovic. Some people call him weird.
Yeah.
Weird Al Yankovic. The discography of Weird Al. I hope it doesn't backfire and I'm in a horrible mood next week because I listened to nothing but Weird Al for a week. Because man, it could this could break bad. This could break very bad.
I suppose
I also know that there's probably 10 records that I won't know most of the songs he's covering.
Maybe. We'll see.
I guarantee. I
haven't listened to the majority of his records. So I'm excited to get into some that I haven't heard yet.
Okay. I am cautiously optimistic that I'm going to
enjoy these. I like it.
It's going to help because I've heard nothing but amazing things about Weird Al, that like he's just an amazing person.
He's such a good dude from what I understand. Yeah.
That's all I've heard. So that will help me a lot. That will help me a lot. Doesn't mean I'm not going to get pissed off at him at times.
Right. But definitely going into it, knowing that somebody's a good, like just an overall good person, it helps a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, like so look forward for our Burzum draft.
There's hardly any controversy with Weird Al.
Just gonna ignore that then?
Well, I didn't even hear what you said. Nope.
I said, look forward to our Burzum draft.
Oh, Jesus. No, that will not happen.
We can do Burzum Universe, and then Kanye's lumped in.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, no.
All right, next week. Weird Al Yankovic draft.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter or X at AWLPod. Follow us on Instagram at AWLPod. Join the Facebook group. Link will be in the show notes. Send us an email, especially if you know about skins, at ruelistening.pod@gmail.com. Listeners, thank you for listening.
Always.
Listen to something new. Listen to something you love.
Homework.
Scott, thank you for the episode. Thank you for the podcast. Thank you for the friendship.
Thank you, brother.
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
To Burzum?
No!
You and I aren't going to shine any light on this thing that hasn't been shined better elsewhere.
Hitler, good.
Everybody, yeah. Yeah. Rock your body, yeah. Yeah. I don't even know how to say it. If you're a skin, like the good kind.
Hitler, good.
I'm always flattered when my hot dog's getting battered.